All right, everyone, welcome back. We're going to be diving into this week's content and what we're going to be talking about today. We actually have Alan Donegan joining us on the show. Alan is the founder of Pop-Up Business School, the co-founder of Pop-Up Business School. And what he has created, him and his partner Simon have created, has really become a movement in and of its own right, helping people start businesses, create business plans, execute, just get started, take action without going into debt. And their business, this movement that they've started, really has gone worldwide with events happening all over the country. The key word being events. Pop-Up Business School is an event-based business where they go into local communities for 2 weeks at a time teaching aspiring entrepreneurs how to become actual entrepreneurs, how to do this. And as you can imagine, in current times with the pandemic spreading across the globe and many people seeing this extreme economic downturn, there is an effect on basically all of our businesses, but any business that's in the event space would be particularly hard hit at this time. So I think there's an opportunity for us here to talk to Alan, who's been on this path to financial independence for a long time, who implements these practices in his own business, and really pull back the curtain and see, like, what's his framework for this? How is he positioning himself and his team, his business model? How are they going through this? And to help me with this, I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan, I am doing quite well. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I wish we were talking under better circumstances, but it is always, always a pleasure to have Alan here on the Chooseify podcast. He is a great friend of the show, a great friend of ours. And yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to chatting with him. But yeah, this is going to be interesting, right? Because this downturn has affected essentially every business that I can think of, even ones that you wouldn't normally think would be maybe even impacted by, like, I'm thinking of my own dentist. Like, you don't think of a dentist as something that would be impacted in a normal economic downturn. But yet, when you can't get together in person, that is a major, major issue. So I'm curious to talk to Alan both about disaster planning and mitigation, but really silver linings. Like, what good can come from this? Because you hear stories of downturns past about these innovative businesses that have popped up. And I'm curious to hear it from Alan's mouth, like how he sees this and how he's advising people. So with that, Alan, welcome back to Chooseify.
I am so glad to be back on the show. I absolutely love hanging out with you both.
All right, man. Well, before we go right into the silver linings, let's take a look at the bleakness that is out there and how that's kind of affected, you know, Pop-Up Business School. Like, just a couple months ago, we were in Charleston, South Carolina. It was an incredible event with well over 100 attendees coming there almost every single day and people starting businesses, getting their first sale. And that was what Pop-Up was seeing all across the country. It's so inspirational just to think about it. But we know that was in February and March is a different world. What's happened in the intervening period of time?
Well, it's quite interesting. We've gone from running events one day, which were all about the energy of the room and having hundreds of people together and the buzz, and that's what it was all about, to now you see it as a virus hotspot and don't touch anyone, stay away. When the lockdown happened in England, we were at the end of two events. So we had two events running right there and then. And on the Wednesday, they said we couldn't come back on the Friday. So we had to figure out in 2 days how to put our events online to finish the current events. And then the phone call started to come, cancelling every event going forwards. And we lost around about £250,000 worth of business overnight. And our entire cash flow for the foreseeable future has disappeared. We have about 8 staff. We're spending a lot of money each month. And I don't know when the next money's coming in. So it's been quite an interesting situation to be found in. And in none of our thinking did it ever occur to us that all events globally would be cancelled. That's just not something we would have ever predicted. But here we are. You're right. It's a different world. Yeah. So Pop-Up has had a corona-shaped knife stuck into it so far.
Yeah, Alan, I think that is probably the most, from a business perspective, the most insidious part of this, right? Is like, even for people like you who have been following 5 principles, both in your life and in your business, you couldn't have envisioned, even in your disaster plans, which I'm sure you thought through this, you couldn't have envisioned it going down to zero, right? Like, talk us through, like, how you conceptualize maybe disaster planning or how you've thought about creating some runway for your business? Because this wasn't just like, we've got $0 in the bank, I assume, right? Like, we're screwed. I mean, you've been planning, but yet you went down to $0 of income, and who knows when that's coming back.
Yes. And I think for years I've been following the financial independence principles. And one of the stats that always scared me was your average American doesn't have an emergency fund. They can't even scrape together $1,000 in the shape of an emergency. And it's very similar in England. People just don't keep cash lying around. And my childhood experiences of my dad's businesses going bankrupt taught me that income can vanish very quickly. So you need to have cash laying about just in case, because you don't know when the next money's coming. And over the years, I've been fired from different jobs. I've lost different things. We've had different crashes. Income comes up, comes down, and I've always been a saver. So personally, I've always had money in the bank ready to go. And I held those principles in my business. And we have about a year's runway with pop-up. So we can last for a year with no income, but that would blow all of the money that I have spent the last 6 to 8 years building up. I don't really want to do that, but at least we have a year's security. So we are in a better position than I think 90% of businesses who rely on the next month's money to be able to pay the next month's salaries.
So yeah, I mean, that's a brutal spot to be in, because right, you said you painstakingly built this runway up for 6 to 8 years. And now theoretically you have a year's worth of runway, but if you don't see income coming in the next, who knows, right? It could be 3, 6, 12, 24 months if you believe that things aren't going back to quote unquote normal until a vaccine comes out or some such, right? I mean, you've heard that thrown about, like, do you want to spend through that money? Like, it's a tough call. And I guess, you know, I'm stumbling over my words here because it's hard to come to this point, right? Like, do you let go of your staff now, even though you theoretically have runway, but is it worth it to just burn through all that money, right? Like, I mean, that's got to be a huge consideration now.
So there's actually a scale here. So if you imagine on one end of the scale, there's protect what you've got. So how do we actually make sure we keep what we've got and don't lose? And on the other end of the scale, there is let's go full out and sell, try and develop the next thing, attack. There's attack and defense, basically. And then there's everything in between. And defense says, lay off all the staff, stop spending any money, put your head down, hide in a hole, and then come back out when the sunshine comes up again. An attack says that in a situation like this, and I've always believed this, the biggest problems, there is the biggest opportunities. So attack says, let's go out there. Let's go speak to every council in England, every customer we've got, every housing authority. Let's speak to every single one, find out what they need, find out what's hurting them, and develop the next product that will help them. And we have taken a decision as of last week in our emergency company call that we are going to go on the attack and see if we can develop the next version of pop-up, because this is an opportunity. Now, we've made that decision for a month and we'll revisit it again in a month, because I don't want to blow through your cash cushion without ever looking at it and come to 7 months down the line and we go, uh-oh, now we're in real trouble. But we've taken the decision to go on the tack. And at times of challenge, I think sometimes you need to push harder.
Alan, I'm sure we want to talk about this attack more, but I just want to ask a quick question just from a business owner's perspective. You said we made that decision, right? Is that you and your business partner? Is that the team? Like, who's included in those conversations?
So actually, I have worked for multiple businesses in the past where decisions are made and then things are done to me. And I hate that. And I've always wanted to be the opposite of what a traditional business would do, where the two directors or the co-founders go into a room, put their heads down, and then come out and tell everyone their fate. I dislike that intensely. And I've seen it happen. And actually, I was speaking to a friend last week who said, well, why don't you get everyone to reapply for their jobs? And I've seen what that does to people's morale. And I've seen how it kills what they're doing. And I don't want to be like traditional business. So we actually got everyone together. We said, here's our finances. I mean, the whole philosophy is Choose FI is money is a conversation we should all have. It's not something that should be hidden. It's not something you should be scared about talking about. It's a conversation we should have. So we said to them, here's our income. Here's the cash we've got in the bank. Here's our savings figures. Here's our runway. And we laid everything out on the table for our team and asked them to help us make a decision. And we had the whole team on a Zoom call discussing it and working out what to do, because I believe you should be open about these things. And I never want to do things to my staff without their permission.
So I want to talk about this silver linings aspect a little bit more. And I love the frame that you took for this with your business. I want to pare back just a second before we go farther with the pivot, which is what we're talking about here, and the attack and the defense, and kind of focusing on what opportunities might present themselves. I want to find out what effect this actually had on your personal life as well, because my understanding was you and Katie have been on the path to financial independence. You've reached or are very close to financial independence. The business revenue has dried up, and in fact, you're burning through cash reserves. What does this mean for your personal finances and the decisions that you and Katie have had to kind of make as a response to this? Because again, you are not in drawdown, right? Like the plan was not necessarily for you to be drawing down on, you had a business and now the business has dried up very, very quickly. What's the effect on your personal finances? Yeah, just kind of talk us through that.
Yeah, we hit our financial independence number about a year or two ago, and I still had a business. I still had incomes that we hadn't started to draw down. The markets were going very well. Everything was great. And then overnight, we have had around about $225,000 evaporate from our net worth. So we've gone down nearly $250,000 in our net worth, which is a scary figure, but we still have the same number of stocks and shares. I still have J.L. Collins' advice ringing in my ears of just don't sell and you'll be fine, it'll bounce. And I listen to his guided meditation. That definitely makes me calmer. And I think we've had a few challenges because the tenants in our flat have emailed saying they're not going to pay rent for 3 months because they've not got any income. So, and we still need to pay the mortgage. We still need to pay the other stuff. So our income has vanished. The only saving grace is that we're savers and we have an emergency fund. So we have around about a year's runway of personal cash that you kind of hope it bounces back within a year. If it doesn't, we will be taking stronger decisions and starting to sell stuff or do other things. But at the moment, I've got a year, and I guess my faith levels of what will happen to the economy are reasonable. I think we can withstand this. I think we can bounce back. You can hear the nervousness and the question in my tone.
We'll know in 12 months. But
it's a faith question, isn't it? It's a belief. It's a confidence. And what's that built off? It's built off different experts' advice and reading the media, which you probably all know I hate reading the media because it's all a load of waffle at times. Yes, but I guess I just have an underlying faith in humanity that we will bounce back.
Yeah, it's interesting, Alan. You know, I'm much earlier on my path to financial independence than you are, although I'd say it's a similar trajectory. My path to financial independence will largely be because of building a business as opposed to being an employee. I will say that there's no like truly safe path here. There's plenty of employees of very stable, secure companies that are suddenly insecure, you know, about that future. So it's not like entrepreneurship and small business ownership is particularly more vulnerable. I mean, everybody's kind of susceptible to this to some varying degree. But anyways, I'll just say that my faith and belief and humanity and confidence is kind of one of these, I can ride this out. I can ride this out. Like, and that's kind of just, that's an underpinning there. So I look at my, you know, 6 month emergency fund. I look at my taxable investments beneath that. I look at my burn rate and my options and how I could pivot if I actually needed to, you know, what can I do and what am I willing to do? And I map all that out and I say, okay, I can stay the course. Having said that, it's really hard to separate out the business from the personal life when both of them are going down at the same time. So I just wanted to spend a couple minutes there and find out what that looked like for you. And now that we've done that, I think the small business owners in this community are grateful to have you on sharing what this looks like, because we draw a lot of inspiration from what you have done, what you're doing. So with that in mind, I wanted to go talk about the attack. I wanted to talk about the pivot. I wanted to talk about looking for new opportunities. It's so easy for us to focus on what we have quote unquote lost. And I know you had said this earlier, what can you build? So let's talk about this through the lens of pop-up, the current pitch that you would take to, you know, local departments of local counties and states, like that pitch, hey, let's go set something up in a local center. We'll make this free for the populace. That's not the pitch anymore. How are you looking at the opportunities that might be out there and building these new lanes of revenue? What's the plan? What is your team undertaking? Kind of walk us through that mentality.
So I think the question and where people get stuck is definitely they focus on what they've lost. And there is a grieving process to go through. If you've lost X business, if you've lost X events, if you've lost all your plans for the year, there is a grieving process to go through before you rise out the other side and start to look at it. I guess my thought is, how quickly can you get through the thoughts about what you've lost and get on to what can you build? So for pop-up, we started asking the questions immediately. What can we build? What could we offer? What are the biggest challenges that our clients are facing? And we try not to guess. We actually ring them. So the team gets on the phone and they speak to the councils. They speak to the local authorities. They speak to all these people. To start with, they said, leave us alone. We're busy dealing with a virus and our life has changed. But then over the last week, they've started to come back to normality and raise their head and think about what's next and how do we support people next. And I think there is a shock and a grief process that everyone goes through. Now, what I always like to do is to turn every problem into a question. So if the problem is we can no longer run face-to-face events, is the question, how can we generate an income online and make a difference in people's lives? If the question is the problem is all of our money has vanished, the question might be, how do we create income to keep our staff? And that's maybe a defensive question. Maybe we need more of a forward-focused question of how do we build an income whilst still delivering the pop-up mission, which we're very clear on. The pop-up mission is to help people build businesses and make money doing something they love. I have a super clear mission. It's just how you deliver it. And then you take that problem, turn it into a question that your team can answer. And sometimes your team is you and your partner. Sometimes your team is the people you work with. Sometimes it's you and your friends if you're a solopreneur. But it's generating those answers to those forward-focusing questions. And I think the quicker you can go from problem to question, the quicker you'll start to look forwards.
Yeah, Alan, I think it's so easy to focus on how you've always done it, right? Or like you said, what you've lost. And I think what you're describing here is a mindset that's maybe really being introspective on limiting beliefs. Right. If your mission is to help people build businesses and to do it ultimately at low cost without incurring debt, all the things we've talked about on your other appearances here, maybe the limiting belief was always we have to do these in person. Right. Like because it works, because it's always worked, because that's how you did it when you guys started pop-up. But now in-person gatherings are not conceivable. So like talk me through how you guys have thought about like maybe talk us through that grieving process. Honestly, when you were mentioning that, like, I'd love to hear where your emotions went, if you don't mind, because this is hard. I mean, we've seen this with Chooseify as well. Like it is hard to say, okay, this is how the world was a month ago. and we have to let it go.
So let me tell you my biggest loss. Oh, you made me sigh with that one, Brad. Google were going to sponsor an event in New York. We were going to be running a pop-up business school in Google's headquarters in the Grow with Google space in New York. And they were going to work with us to help small businesses use their tools. It's the most incredible event. I've been working on Pop-Up Business School, the TV show, to help people start businesses. And a major streaming network and a major TV network were going to come to the Google event to see me perform with light of doing a TV show. And all of that has vanished. And I know it's not gone. I know it'll come back. But you have to, like, I have this feeling in my chest of it's evaporated. And every plan I had for the year has gone. And it's okay to feel that feeling. And it's okay to feel that loss. Because in a way, like, it is grief. It's gone. And I think you have to admit to yourself that these things are gone, and then try not to stay in that emotion too long. You need to feel it for however long you need to feel it for. Maybe it's half an hour, maybe it's an hour. But if you sit in that emotion and let it trap you, you'll miss out on all the opportunities that still exist. And I think this is the challenge, and exactly what you're talking about is focusing on what isn't there versus focusing on what you can do. And when I've been talking to small business owners this week, they've spent most of the conversation telling me what they can't do. And I've spent most of the conversation saying, well, that doesn't mean we can't do this, this, or this. And I think it's so easy to get trapped in that mindset of I can't do any of the things I was planning to do. And that's all I can see. And that's all I'm trapped thinking about. Now, I guess the question is, how do you change to a world of possibility versus a world of loss? And the answer is tools and techniques to help you change your state, because a lot of it is how resourceful you feel, how positive and how confident. And like, if I was going to give something to your audience right now, it would be, here's the top five ways to change your state. Here's how to change the way you feel and get yourself into a more positive state. Because if you sit in that feeling of grief and loss, it can consume you.
Once someone has gone through this grieving process and they're not quite clear on what the new question is, what the new opportunity will be, but they're kind of taking a look at maybe time that they have on their hands as a result of it. What are your thoughts on an opportunity like this to build a skill stack? You know, something that you might not be able to execute on right now, but something that will be useful for your future business when this does come back. Like, just give me some thoughts there on how this might apply to an individual that's can't execute on their business because of circumstances, you know, at the moment, but they don't want to just let this time go to waste.
Actually, I don't care if you're an employee, self-employed, unemployed, volunteering. It doesn't really matter. This time is actually an opportunity. So step one is change your state. Go for a run, do some press-ups, play fight the dog, turn on some music, bounce around the room, play a board game, get in a positive state. If you can do that, then you can start forward focusing on, I have all this time, what can I build? And I've taken up yoga. I don't know if you've seen.
I saw the headstand, man. It was fantastic.
Yes, I've learned how to do a headstand. So my friend Laura Poole is a yoga teacher. She's gone online and she's been teaching me how to do headstands. I've lost a significant amount of weight, which is a sentence no one has ever said before. I've come to New Orleans and I've lost weight. But I've stayed in, I've eaten vegetables, I've become healthy, I'm reading, I'm writing, I'm creating. And all of a sudden, I've got this time to make come true all of the things I've ever wanted to do. So all of the excuses of I don't have time have vanished. And now it's, okay, yoga, I'm in. Let's do headstands. Let's do this. Let's do that. My blog, I've written some great blog articles. Well, I think they're great. You can tell me if they are later. I've started creating a podcast, and we've got to talk about that at some stage. The podcast with you two that we've got coming out. This has given me time, energy, and motivation, and I've had phenomenal recording sessions working on that. I'm learning new skills. And I don't care whether you've got a job or you're unemployed or you're self-employed or you're a business owner. This is the time to do the stuff you've always been putting off. This is a phenomenal opportunity to come out of this stronger than you went in.
Yeah. And that was my question is, like, if someone that got started on a business and right as they were getting started, just got punched in the face with this, you know, economic event, should they just give up? Like, is this it? Was this a sign that it wasn't meant to be? And they should just go back to that job they barely tolerated and that whatever, like, you know, just kind of speak to those people, because your business has inspired a bunch of people to take that first leap and try to create something. And maybe those individuals are hearing this saying,
and actually, so we ran the event in Charleston in February. That you came along to, and we helped 100 people get going. And there was an amazing yoga teacher called Darcy, and we were helping her find a space and launch. And we helped her find an incredible opportunity for a space. And this came on, and all physical yoga events get cancelled. And she's got to react and come out with something else. And I think this is exactly what's happened to a bunch of people, is they've got smashed by this virus and their businesses got smashed. The question is, should you see it as a sign that this is not what it's meant to be? And I would say no, because this is just a completely random freak event that no one was expecting. That doesn't mean your idea is dead. It doesn't mean the future that you were dreaming of is dead. It means it's on pause currently, and we can definitely resuscitate it afterwards. If this is a long series of, I've been trying to launch this business for 25 years, and every time I do, something goes wrong, then maybe it is a sign, do something different. But for most of us, I think this is just a pause. And it's actually a pause that we can use to strengthen what we're doing and come back stronger.
Yeah, Alan, I like that concept of a pause, right? Like, it's so easy to look at it as a sign of, oh, it wasn't meant to be. And you just throw up your hands and you say, oh, some they, right? In this case, the they was a virus. But, you know, some they is always going to be there to stamp me down. And, you know, I think you need to see the world as it is. Like you said, this is a pause. Right. And we don't know how long the pause is going to be, but it's clearly a pause. Life will eventually come back to normal. And if that was a viable business, if that was something that you were excited about, then pick it up then, but pick it up then with the world as it is. Right. Like, there might be facts on the ground that have changed that, you know, even a pop-up business school, like, who knows if people are going to still, even when things get back to normal, are they going to want to congregate in groups of 100 or 200 right away? I mean, maybe not. So maybe you ease into it. Maybe you have smaller events. Maybe, like, you know, it's not my business to tell you how to do your thing, but, like, to even just, you know, maybe you talk through, like, people need to see the world as it is.
Yes, because there's three different ways you can look at the world. There's looking at it worse than it is, which is the pessimists. There's looking at it better than it is, which is the optimists, and then they're seeing it as it is. If you are a pessimist and you're always seeing it as at the worst, that's going to constantly make you feel bad, feel defensive, and will stop you making any progress. Equally, if you never see the bad and all you see is the good, blind to opportunity, you're blind to problems that can blindside you, and being 100% optimistic isn't good either. So I think there is a middle ground of, yes, here's all the stuff that's bad, here's all the stuff that's good, working within that reality, let's go forwards. And the tool Simon and I at Pop-Up Business School use is actually called Current Reality. And we do this at the start of our biggest meetings. and we do a current reality. We normally get a giant piece of flip chart or a giant piece of paper. We put a plus and a minus, and we say, here's all the stuff that's not working. Here's all the stuff that is working. And we do a current reality to look at things as they actually are. Then you can build from reality and work out where to go next. But if you're blind to the reality, if you're only seeing the bad or only seeing the good, it makes it virtually impossible to build.
So on Facebook, just this past, within the past couple of days, a Facebook friend of mine, who's also in the Choosify community, Corey, posted this on his personal page. And it's one of the most profound things I've seen. And it's very applicable at a time like this. I'd love your reaction to it. I don't know if it's a Corey original or whether he got it from someone else, but I'm going to give him full credit for it. And Corey says, building is still possible. It doesn't always mean building revenue. We always need to be building our businesses. And sometimes we're building revenue. Sometimes we're building loyalty. Sometimes we're building systems. But growth is always possible. And now is the best time ever for building loyalty. And that's really stuck with me over the last couple of days, which is why I bring it up now. And I wanted to talk, you know, revenue might be tough. Not impossible. Might be tough, especially in your situation at the moment. But what does systems look like? And what does loyalty look like with your business model currently?
So in terms of loyalty, I think our focus is to build the community and build the support. So PopUp has launched bi-weekly Facebook Live events, and we're doing everything we can to be open and honest about our situation and to help people through it. And you can give away your energy and your support, and it doesn't cost you any money to do that. And that will absolutely build the support and loyalty long term, because you're there for people when they need it the most. We can build the systems and processes to run pop-ups in the future, and we've started to work on that, and we will continue to work on that. And actually, the other thing that we're building or growing at the moment is our own education. So the whole team are learning economics, we're learning negotiation, we're learning more about social media, online promotion, running things. And I think you can build capability, skills and knowledge during this time, so you are ready to come out on the other side. Or you can go and sit and watch Netflix. It's kind of up to you.
Ozark season 3, baby.
I've just started watching that. Jason, but he is phenomenal.
He is so good. But your point is well taken.
Not too much.
Everything in moderation. Yeah, man, this is awesome. Okay, Alan, let's talk about the Rebel Entrepreneur for a few minutes. So I will just give you the floor, man, because I'm so excited about this project. I'm so excited that this is an opportunity that you have time to throw at this right now. And we haven't formally announced it on the Choosify podcast. So let's go ahead and do it today.
I love that. So when you said that you were looking at working on a couple of new podcasts, I'd had in my head for a long time that I wanted to get the message out broader. And actually, it was Pete, Mr. Money Mustache, that hit me with this. Around about 2 years ago, we were running an event with him in Longmont, a pop-up business school. And afterwards, I talk about the reach and the impact. And I said about getting the message out further. And he said to me, could you imagine Mr. Money Mustache going room from room, helping 50 people at a time? And it hit me that if he'd have done that, he never would have built the platform he has, and he never would have created the change and the impact he has. And suddenly he slapped me in the face with this realization of, whilst it's really important to be in the room, I also need to get the message out further that you can build businesses without debt, because people don't really believe that as much as I think they could. So when you said, we're thinking about launching podcasts, I thought to myself, this is the time to share the message. This thing that I've been drumming on about year after year in rooms of 50 people. Now Brad and Jonathan and Ed and the ChooseFI team are going to give me the opportunity to help a far bigger audience. So I felt honored that you asked me to do this. We brainstormed ideas. We brainstormed names. We came up with the Rebel Entrepreneur, which is the tagline is passion, purpose, and profit, because we truly believe you can make money doing something you enjoy. You can truly do something positive for the world whilst making money. and profit actually helps you and the world. So that's what it's going to be about. And the underlying theme is I want to smash the belief that it takes money to make money, because I think that traps so many people around the world from making progress. And it's actually the biggest lie out there. Do you know where that saying came from?
Brad, he was asking you.
Yeah, me. I do not know, Alan. Tell me.
It came from a comedic Roman writer who used to write comedies to be performed in Rome. So it was like
hundreds of years ago? When are we talking here?
Thousands of years ago. And it was written as a joke because it literally doesn't make sense. It takes money to make money. It like that literally does not make sense. And a lot of the beliefs that we hold today, people came up with many, many years ago, but we just don't challenge them. And this random belief that it takes money to make money, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and all these sayings that trap people from ever being able to take control of their financial destiny were made up by someone at some stage. And this one was made up by a comedian. It was written as a joke. And yet it's what people actually believe. So I want to get out there and smash it and show people you don't need money to start. You can get going with nothing and you can build a business doing something you love.
Yeah, I love that, Alan. I love overcoming those limiting beliefs, right? It's so easy to get stuck in them. It takes money to make money. The rich get richer. Like you said, and there's so many of these that we just take for granted as, okay, that must be true, right? Because everyone says it. But man, that tagline, passion, purpose, and profit. That's pretty cool. Tell the audience, like, how do you see the actual episodes going? Like, have you thought through, like, are you going to have guests? Are you going to have, like, talk through case studies? Are you going to do lessons? I mean, do you have any sense as of now?
Yes, absolutely. So I looked at what everyone else was doing and thought, how can we do the opposite? Because that's my starting point of any business. And I wanted to make it actionable so that people could actually do things with it. And the stories and the case studies are very important, and the education of how to do things. So what I wanted to do was have episode one, 5 ways to build a business for free. And then the next episode will be, here's someone who has built a business with no money and how they did it. So you've got the education or the tools, and then you've got the practical application to see how people did it. Then you've got the next episode, which is, can you build a business out of your passion? Is that possible? Here's how to do it. Here's tools, techniques, and strategies. And the following episode, here's someone who's actually done it and what they learnt and how it worked. So I want to combine an episode that gives the audience all of the tools, and then with the real life example of someone who's done it, to show it's practical and applicable that you can learn from. So that's going to be the general format. Is here's the Pop-Up Business School trainers delivering the course, the knowledge, the information that you need. And then here's the real life examples that we've helped build over the last decade of real entrepreneurs who've done this and you can copy, repeat, and learn from.
So I think this should be kind of an open-ended question for us on this call and also our community as well. And so Alan, I'm going to get your feedback on this first, but, and Brad too. On the one end, you're saying, oh, we all just got punched in the face. We're in the grieving process. Maybe we pause this and release this in the fall when it all, everybody's out of the grieving process. The other end is like, I had my wake up call. I don't want to sit on my ideas anymore. I want to start getting my plan together, getting my act together, and getting ready to execute on this. I need Rebel Entrepreneur more than ever. Alan, what is your thoughts? Do we just kick back the launch of Rebel Entrepreneur till next year and when it's all steady state again? And yeah, you tell me.
Can you see me saying, let's stop doing anything productive and watching Netflix all day long? I'd go mad. No, we need to get on with life. We need to make this happen. There is a bounce coming. Let's all work to be at the right place to take advantage of this. Now's the time. And I think more than ever before, this is the time to get going.
All right, man. When's the launch date? What is the first date for the first episode?
So our plan is the 4th of May, because I'm a little bit of a geek, which you may have known. But we will be coming out on May the 4th, and we will be with you, helping you to build businesses. It's the Rebel Entrepreneur, so we want you to join the rebellion. We're going to do things differently, and we're going to help you make money doing something you love.
A whole bunch of Star Wars references in there. weren't 100% clear.
Yes. You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this episode, and I'm actually going to use this episode to submit to Apple to get that listing for Rebel Entrepreneur Live. You're listening to this show now. I want you to park your subscription. I want you to be there when the first episode goes live on the launch date. So when you're listening to this, I want you right now to go ahead and search for Rebel Entrepreneur and your podcast player of choice. You'll see, again, this episode right there in duplicate. You'll know you found the right place. Go ahead and subscribe and be there for that launch date of that first episode. So, Alan, people are listening to this. They want to find out more. They want to connect with you, follow you on this journey. What's the best way for them to do that?
So actually, it's through your website. The best way to find out more is probably through your website. I've launched it on my blog. So if you want to check out alandonegan.com, the latest article is about the podcast. But actually, choosefi.com/rebel will tell you everything you need to know. And one of the things I'd love from your audience is we've put up a voicemail page for people to be able to ask questions. So they can click there and they can say, Alan, I've always dreamt of launching a bakery, but I feel like it takes money. How do I launch a bakery for free? How do I launch a dance business for free? How do I launch? I don't care what it is. I'm stuck with this. I don't have this. But we've launched that there, and several of the episodes are going to be dedicated to showing how to launch individual businesses with no money and answering specific questions. So I would love if the audience can get involved, leave me questions, because that is going to drive the content. I want to do exactly what your audience want.
Awesome. All right, for our audience, go to choosefi.com/rebel. And you know what? I'm just going to say it. The fire is spreading, my friends. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.